Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, every Tuesday afternoon, we usually talk about people's hobbies and their passions. And this week, we're talking about something that I think a lot of people like or love, but I should flag in moderation. I'm talking to Bridget O'Hora, who a lot of you will know as Bridie's Wine Chats, if you're a social media follower, but you're the author of The Home Smelly as well. How are you, Bridget? How are things?
I'm very good.
Now,
I'm delighted.
You are here to, I suppose, teach us, help us, advise us on how to find a, well, when you're looking for a good bottle of wine.
Yes.
On a budget. The dupes.
The dupes.
What are we looking for?
Good is a broad term because, as you say, the dupes are where we really need to be spending our money. Listen, I'm a big advocate of, you know, there are plenty of great wines in the supermarkets to be had. I think what I try and do in the book is to guide people to less so about the big classic famous wine regions and maybe the wine regions that are on the peripheries. We call them high quality, high value
yeah.
regions. So like the south of France, the Languedoc, very like the Luberon, but almost a third of the price, that type of,
so,
you know.
So first of all, what makes a good wine?
Firstly, you know, when the fruit flavours taste like real fruit is a real indicator of good quality. Less sugar has been used.
Okay.
Less manipulation. And it's actually more about the base product, the fruit. So primarily that's where you need to kind of look at the quality. Does it smell like real fruit? Does it taste like real fruit? And then another big indicator is, you know, we always talk about the finish on a wine, but that's a really good way for you to know if the wine is poor or if it's good. If there's absolutely no finish or no flavour, it means that the wine has been poorly made.
Now, there's obviously certain regions that are more suitable and more suited to wine making. And we know of those, I suppose, as being the expensive or the more common or popular wines that we might choose. But your idea in teaching us how to find a good budget friendly bottle or glass of wine is to look for the areas that we don't know.
100%. So say like the likes of Northern Italy for a long time was famous. Valpolicella and, you know, Barolos and Chiantis. Whereas now in Sicily and Puglia, Primitivos, the value for money there is phenomenal because if you think about the price of the land is cheaper, the labour is cheaper, production costs are cheaper. But it doesn't mean that the soils are any less, you know, amazing for the winemaking. It doesn't mean that the climate is any less amazing. If you think about like a hectare of land in the middle of Burgundy costs 4.5 million, whereas a hectare of land in the south of France costs 10 grand.
And we need to know that because actually that makes a difference when you're buying the glass
absolutely
in the restaurant or at the bottle in the shop.
Of course, because they're businesses too. And if it costs them X, Y and Z to make the product, then that will translate to the customer. So absolutely. Say like if you're looking at Bordeaux wines, I often recommend people to head to the, we call them the satellite areas of Bordeaux. Similar soils, similar climate, similar grapes, maybe younger producers because they have a toe in the door.
Yeah.
And they're producing wines that are mimicking the big famous ones,
that
but they're a fraction of the price.
Loads of myths that people have been getting in touch about today when I mentioned you were going to be here. I suppose a lot of this too is addressed in your book. Is it true that you shouldn't get the second cheapest bottle of wine in a restaurant? That's not what you should opt for.
Well, like I would be leaning more towards try not to get the cheapest because I worked in a restaurant for a long time and sourced wines for a restaurant wine list. The high volume wines are the ones that are going to have the biggest markup. So maybe the house wine, the Rioja and a Sauvignon Blanc. Those are the
stay
wines.
Stay away from them.
Kind of, yeah. Because they're the ones that have the highest markup and it's unfortunately this sounds really grim and I don't want to bring it down to this. But restaurants need to find a way to claw back some money. And it's really difficult to claw back money on food because the perishable, you know, element to it. Whereas they can claw it back with drinks. And
so
I know it's
if
depressing.
Everyone thinks that the Sauvignon Blanc is on trend and that's what you're opting for, unless you know what you're talking about, you're overpaying for it.
Because they know that people will buy the Sauvignon Blanc irrespective of the quality. So
that's a way to get it back.
Yeah, exactly.
When people are in the supermarket picking up maybe their bottle of wine at the weekend, the little indent at the bottom of the bottle,
punt.
Does that matter?
So not really. The quality of the glass and the weight of the glass is very, you know, up for discussion, it's really only to do with aesthetics. Originally, the punt in the bottle was to do with storing when they had like bottles lying flat, maybe on ships, or the dent. The punt also reinforces the strength of the bottle. So if you look at a champagne bottle, they always have a big dent, and that's really to strengthen the quality
but
of the glass.
But it doesn't mean it's not good wine if it doesn't have that.
No, because
screw tops.
They're screw tops. I am a big fan. It means you don't have to carry a wine opener around the place. If you're having a picnic, if you're going to your friend's house, you can't find, you know, I am a big fan, but there's a lot of, you know, the traditionalists might argue that you can't really age wine on screw cap.
Is that why a lot of people stay away from it? They think it's seen as a cheaper bottle.
Well, it's funny. New Zealand are flipping it on its head. They're putting 98% of their wines under screw cap.
Right.
Expensive and everything in between. But also, I think a lot of people are disappointed when you have, you know, your waiter just going a little bit of a as opposed to the ceremony.
And you're dropping 30 quid for the bottle of wine. You want a bit of fanfare.
You do. You do want the fanfare. But I think maybe, I guess from a producer's point of view, you have more of a guarantee of the less spoilage of the wine. So I get it.
Do we know what we're talking about when it comes to wine in Ireland?
Absolutely. Well,
do we?
We're definitely getting better.
Okay.
Yes. And certainly in the big wine expos all around Europe, those massive wine summits, they're very intrigued by the Irish market. And simply because the Irish are quite learned about wines and getting better. But also, if you think about it, we have the highest tax on a bottle of wine in Europe. So therefore, when you're spending a little bit more money, you want to do a little bit more investing of what you're spending your money on.
Mary is wondering, is organic wine better than non-organic?
Anything organic would be better than the, you know, traditional spraying fungicides, pesticides, all of that, of course. Organic wine is definitely better. However, organic wine doesn't mean that there's absolutely no chemicals at all.
Okay.
But yes, I would be an advocate of organic wine.
When people are going to, you know, maybe pick up a bottle for somebody as a Christmas or a birthday present and they're attracted to the, you know, Chateau sticker or the Bordeaux on it, it doesn't necessarily mean it's good wine though.
Absolutely not. And Bordeaux for a long time has kind of ridden on the crest of coattails of just a long established reputation. However, it doesn't mean that you are guaranteed absolutely beautiful behind the label.
Advice for people who are maybe looking to get something decent as presents, maybe for people, but on they don't want to break the bank. Like I use the, is it the Vinimo?
Oh, Vivino. Yeah. Brilliant. Really, really good. Listen, I'm a huge advocate of if you do live near a smaller independent wine shop, the likes of O'Brien's are fabulous, which are all over the country, simply because generally the staff there will be a little bit more trained to help you. All you need is a couple of little guides towards, you know, where you might be buying, etc. So there's a lot of really good websites as well, Irish wine stores online that have the background producer information, that have the reviews, so that helps you buy as well. I think people forget about how powerful buying online can be.
If you want the cheat sheet on how to pick good wine, you can pick it up in Bridie's Wine Chats, her new book, The Home Sommelier. Am I right?
Yes, that's the title there.
All of the details people can have. Bridget O'Hara, Bridget, thanks a million.
Thank
for
you
joining
so
us
much
here,
for
not at
me.
All on
Thank
Lunchtime
you.
Live today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.